Hello, nerds. Welcome to the Captain's Quarters, the unofficial Star Trek rewatch podcast, where we are rewatching the entire Star Trek franchise, starting at the beginning of the official chronology and working our way through it. My name is Gabe, and I'm with my co-captain, Jason. Make it so, Jason.
Hail the Terran Empire. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Today, Jason and I are talking about Star Trek Enterprise Season 4, Episode 19, which is part two of a two-part mirror episode called In a Mirror Darkly. Here's the synopsis. If last time we went over part one, obviously, we're in the mirror universe. It is explained that the Tholians sent a false Mayday into another universe. They like bombed the fabric of space and created like a portal, and they sent like a Mayday through, and then the USS Defiant responded. They came through and entered in a parallel universe, and this version of Archer decided that he wanted this Defiant because not only is it from a parallel universe, it's also from the future, like hundreds of years. So it is equipped with all kinds of superior technology. Archer wants this ship. He gets it in the last episode. So in this episode, they are trapped by the Tholians, who created like this electric web in space. So the Defiant is able to escape. They rescue some survivors from the Enterprise, which was also trapped. They repair the warp drive. Archer discovers records from the parallel universe where the Captain Archer and crew that we know and love would have been from. And they learn of their counterparts' accomplishments. Archer faces sabotage, kills the perpetrator. He disintegrates the Admiral of Starfleet, Admiral Black. Sato, who has become, in this universe, Archer's like, I think they call him call her the captain's girl.
They do.
Yeah. She allies with Mayweather and declares herself Empress Sato. And that's the end. That was a very short synopsis. I told Jason before we started recording that I hated this episode, and it took me multiple sessions just to get through it. And I'll tell you why I didn't like it, Jason. Because,
oh man, I was gonna ask you.
Yeah. Because it played up these negative aspects of all these characters. So you know, Archer vaporizing Admiral Black is the worst of it, you know, because he's power hungry. Archer wants to be the emperor. Because in this parallel universe, it is a Terran Empire, as you said, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Archer knows that he can basically do whatever he wants if he has this Defiant ship.
Mm-hmm.
And then like every character is like a sinister, evil version of the character that we know from the regular show. But it's overdone. Like it's supposed to be funny. I think it was supposed to, like, we're supposed to laugh when Sato is so promiscuous. We're supposed to be like, oh, haha, that's, she would never cross that line, or Archer would never do this. And then with Phlox, Phlox is always something of, you know, like a moral, like, focal point, I would say. And
yes.
And in this episode, when T'Pol and Saval try to convince Phlox to do the right thing and to join their little rebellion, he's like not interested. But then they say, if you like join us, you can have these like concubines. And he's like, ooh, okay, yeah, let's do it. And it's just like way overdone.
Yeah.
But it kind of painted everyone with the same like big brush. Like it was just kind of everybody was just a horrible person to varying degrees. Captain Archer is maybe the worst, but as we find out at the end, Sato is actually the worst. But
Sato may have been the
but all of them are materialistic and driven by, you know, unsavory things, things that we don't typically affiliate these characters with. And I don't know. I felt like it was supposed to be like ironic and funny. And I thought it was just overdone. And they didn't really portray the opposite of these characters. And I feel like that's what they're trying to do. They just made them all kind of the same. Like, they made them like all gangsters, sort of, all just vying for power.
Pirates.
Yeah, pirates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, that's interesting that you put it that way. Did you think of it of the same with T'Pol? Was she just also?
I couldn't quite,
horrendously horrible.
I couldn't quite figure out, because obviously she was the good one. She was the hero. Mm-hmm. She was the one who actually
the one fighting for the aliens.
Right. The only one who actually had morals and ethics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She was trying to stop the horrible things that Captain Archer was doing, and obviously he portrays that as like a rebellion that he had to squash. But she was mostly the same, but much more empathetic.
Yeah.
She definitely, it felt like she's coming from a place of compassion, whereas maybe the T'Pol that we know would reject that as illogical, perhaps.
Yeah. Or,
you know, that's emotional, so we're not going to do that. But so I don't know. Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's... Yeah. You were just disappointed that this was like the anti Star Trek, right? This isn't the characters that we come to know and love, and this isn't, you know, this is just too.
Yeah, like I don't know, the opposite of Phlox would have been sloppy and not diligent and lazy, as opposed to what we got. And I talked about this last time too, like Archer was, there were so many moments in these two episodes where he was supposed to be like belligerent and aggressive that were actually like pretty like in character for him when he gets all worked up, when he when he's dressing someone down.
This Archer just takes it to a whole new level.
Right. I mean, his actions are a lot worse, obviously, here. But, like, just his mannerisms, I felt like it wasn't that far off from the Archer we know. The way he addresses people and the way he kind of flips his lid, you know? So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
But, again, it took me at least three sessions to get through it. So
does it also not keep your attention because there was no these two episodes kind of operate in isolation from the non-Terran universe?
Right. Yeah, we talked about that last time. There's something broken inside me that makes it hard to appreciate things for what they are, and it was harder for me to appreciate this. Like, thank God they put in that Tholian device, that plot device where it literally connects it physically to the universe we know. Because, like, without that, if this had been something just completely in the mirror,
in the mirror
with
universe.
No explanation. Okay. I would have.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would have done, man. I would have been like, Jason, you're gonna have to do all the talking here. So.
Yeah, I'm gonna. I would have had to carry the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. That's because I ask because. And I think we talked about this the last time. I asked you because, again, this is another episode where we don't get to see... Well, that's not entirely true. The Terran Captain Archer has visions. Not visions, but like... Yeah, visions or hallucinations of the Archer that we know in sitting in the captain's chair and... standing in the turbo lift and a couple other places.
The Archer of Christmas Past.
Yeah, the Archer of our world, or you know, what we spent four seasons on. And that's the really interesting take for Star Trek fans, because maybe there's only been maybe an episode, maybe a mirror episode of Deep Space Nine, or kind of a mirror episode in Next Generation. I'm not even sure that was even a mirror episode. That's not really technically a mirror episode, but it's pseudo. And it's interesting that from that perspective, because we usually get our heroes getting trapped in this universe, or in this, yeah, in this universe.
Okay.
In the Terran Empire universe. And that, and you do have that conflict, and you still have that, like, light that you're missing, that you are missing from these two episodes.
Got it.
From what you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, but now, in this one, and these two, it's just been dark.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, you know, the worst of humanity, the animalistic chimp nature of our humanity.
Exactly.
Coming out.
Unevolved. Yeah. That is exactly right, what you just said, with the animalistic, like it take all the characters we know and then devolve them.
Yes.
Into...
De-evolved.
De-evolve them, yeah. Into more animalistic, more impulsive.
Yeah.
Just driven by materialism and the pursuit of just like the blind pursuit of power. And and that was it. Like, literally, that was just like what every character was reduced to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I felt like it was trying to be more than that. It was trying to be more than that. It was trying to be like the opposite of. Like, Sato's promiscuity, I think we were supposed to take as the opposite of the Sato we know, who would never cross that line with her.
Yes, yes. I would agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that.
But I don't think they pulled it off. I don't know. So
Too much? Was it too much?
I thought it wasn't enough, I think. It was...
Not enough!
Yeah, it wasn't... It was just like kind of monotone. It was just the same.
Right, I get that. I get what you're saying on that. That it was just one dimensional.
Yeah.
That it was just all striving for power.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And
yeah. Okay. I get that.
What did you think, man?
You know, I loved it. I love these. I loved it. I love that. I love the backhandedness, the backstabbing, just the. I love their interpretation of the animalistic, you know, not so, you know, the darker side of our angels. In this episode, where they did take it, and you know, did I miss some of the original 60s campiness in which the mirror episodes come so
nicely and neatly. I did miss that. But I'm glad that they... on the flip side, though, I'm glad that they didn't go back to that that campiness from the original series. And they played it a little more seriously. I loved it. I really enjoyed it because it gave Mayweather and Sato much more of a front seat kind of role in these two episodes. And I would love to think, and I may be wrong, but I would love to think that the actors really just kind of had fun with it. You know, they could like let their hair down and kind of have fun with these two episodes.
Got it.
And I take it that way. But I also enjoyed watching the reveal of the chip nature. Do I agree with you that was it like a little bit maybe too one-dimensional and that there was some character things missing to it? Absolutely. But I think in a lot of ways, I think that's what really has been missing for me in the series anyways, in a lot of ways.
Sure, yeah.
You know, even after four seasons, I was going to say four series. You're in America, Lim. Four seasons that still part, a lot of my complaint is that, you know, we don't get character development episodes. But that's, like I said, a complaint of mine through this entire series.
Yeah. No, I agree. I will concede the Sato thing. It is cool to see her front and center, literally.
Yeah.
Literally sort of the king of the hill.
I mean, when she walks on that bridge and declares herself Empress, I was like, dude, that's awesome. That's awesome. And then the other thing too, I was really taken back and really, because in the episode called Tholian Web, the original series where the Defiant is, you know, kind of taken away, it's not really, it's kind of an afterthought after that, right? Because the original series was so episodic, like you didn't find out next week, right, after that what happened to the Defiant. I think it was kind of cool that they developed that it was lost to the Tholians in the Mirror Universe.
Right. That is cool.
And then, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the first time we've seen a Gorn in the on Enterprise? Because Slar? Was this the first time we've seen a Gorn?
I had that thought. I was like, have we met these people before? Because I heard the name and I was like, I don't know. It seemed like kind of memorable. I feel like we would remember that.
Yeah. The only thing that I was thinking of, and this is probably just me overthinking,
because it's like a huge reptile, like beast kind of man.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
I don't think we would have forgot if there was a Gorn.
The only thing that I will posit is that it's possible that we may have seen like a Gorn in the background.
Sure.
As like a dealer or a trader.
Sure.
For the Orion Syndicate, one of those episodes. You know, when the slave in the slave trade scene?
Sure, yeah. Easily in the background.
That's the only thing that I could think of, but not officially.
Yeah, not officially. I agree.
Yeah. Okay. And then a little kind of what do you call those?
Easter egg?
Yeah, thank you. Little Easter egg. I would like to believe that Soval's beard that he carries in this episode is a throwback to Spock's beard, when his mirror beard.
Got it.
Back in
The goatee.
Yeah, the goatee. Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
I think for me, I would love to think and I hope that that's what they drew their inspiration from, was that they went back and said, okay, hey, you know, we're going to put a goatee on Sovel because Spock wore one. The mirror Spock wore one in the original series episode.
Interesting. I did not know that, obviously. It had to have been, right? They're both Vulcans.
It's gotta be. Yeah. It's gotta be. So the one thing that I'm also kind of... I wanted to ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you think this is the end with, what, 6-7 episodes left, probably? 5? However many episodes are left?
I don't think there's that many, buddy. I think there's only, like, 3 left.
Oh, okay. Because yeah. I'm curious to see if they address the Defiant. And if that plays a role in future mirror episodes of Star Trek, if that's established that their weapons are so advanced because they stole technology from 100 years in the future, 100 so years in the future, potentially.
Really?
From the Defiant. And that's why the Terran Empire is so devastatingly powerful in the future. I'm curious to see if it's destroyed and they lose that at some point, or that is how they become so mightily dominant in the mirror universe.
I don't recall if we talked about this last time, but so the Terran Empire is a carryover from other mirror episodes from other series?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Interesting.
Yes. And this is, like I said, the prequel, kind of the introduction to that, right? To those mirror universes in the future.
Interesting. Okay. So it's not like... Because I think in multiverse theory, like, there's technically infinite, like, versions, but but they're sticking with the same parallel.
I think so.
Wow. Okay.
I think so.
That's kind of cool.
Because this is way before... Because, again, this is way before we establish a multiverse.
Here's how small my...
Like, the original series goes, you know, back 1960... I don't know. Maybe they had a multiverse back then. I don't know.
Here's how fickle I am, Jason. I'm back now. Now I'm bought in. The fact that this is world building for a mirror universe episode later.
Oh,
that it's not a standalone. Yeah. Okay.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That makes me a lot more interested in it for
this sure. This is establishing. And this is why I'm curious to see if there's any other references as to this is how the Terran Empire becomes so powerful in future iterations.
Wow. Like, what if there was
that they stole
a reference to Sato,
future technology?
The Empress.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, maybe. And again, this is another reason why I'm like, dang, this should have been in season 1.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, you know what I wanted to ask you? So when Archer uses the weapon from the Defiant and it, like, disintegrates Admiral Black.
The phaser?
Yeah. Is that how powerful the weapons were in the original series? They just, like... zap people into a puff
of
smoke?
Unlike the highest mode, yeah, uh-huh.
Okay.
Like, the kill setting, basically.
Yeah.
The highest setting.
Okay.
You could evaporate, disintegrate.
Wow.
People.
And the phasers in the current period, in the Enterprise period, are not that strong,
I
right?
don't think they're that strong, yeah.
Right, okay.
I think there is a kill setting, but I don't think that there's a vaporize setting.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Which has been always odd to me.
Mm-hmm.
That the Federation and Starfleet would allow their weapons to go that high. To evaporate someone.
Yeah. Very peculiar. Very inhumane.
But
for sure.
I guess... But I guess aliens, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what you're going to find out there. So you may have to vaporize them if they can survive, you know. But I don't know.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting. Okay. Well, what rating do you give this one, buddy?
I was going to give this a Commander's 3 pips.
Okay.
Yeah, this was a really good world building. Another really good world building episode.
Okay.
For the rest of the franchise.
Okay.
Yeah, and again, it was just fun. It was fun.
What do you give Archer's hair dye job? What rating do you give?
Oh, that was terrible. Oh man. Like, every time I saw him, I'm like, dude, I just want to, like, take my hand and run it through. Because, like, you know, all of that's going to come out.
Yeah.
Because it was so shiny on screen that you knew they used, like, polish or whatever it was.
Yeah. Yep.
And the other thing, it's funny that you mentioned that. Because, like, now, like, if they went back and said, okay, we're going to, like, you know, 4D it. Or whatever, and you know, clean it up and add effects and make it even more visually strong, because that's what they did to the original series. And now you can tell that it's like, you know, especially in fight scenes now, really you can tell like it's William Shatner or Leonard Nimoy or name any other actor, and it's their stunt double.
Oh, right? No way.
Like, you can really tell now. And I'm curious if they did that, if they went back and redid that and remastered it more or less. Mm-hmm. Like, you could see like some black, you know, hair polish or whatever, hairspray or whatever on Scott Bakula's, you know, forehead or
right.
You know.
Yeah.
Ed or whatever the case might be, just because they didn't do a good enough job. But yeah, he looked like a walking advert for like hair care for men.
Seriously. Yeah. Very, like, it really took away every time he was on the screen, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely distracting. And even for me, even Mayweather's, you know, buzz cut, where it was incredibly militaristic, I was like, oh, that's different. Oh, okay, that's... I could, it was more pointed and less mm-hmm. rounded, usually.
Yeah, it was.
I was like, oh, okay, that's the way we're going.
He looked like a character straight out of an 80s, like, I don't know, Ninja Turtles movie or something, just like a straight mm-hmm. up, like... bad guy from an 80s action flick with the flat top and the earring.
Exactly.
But oh well, I'm very happy to be done with this and to get back to real Star Trek. So yeah.
Okay.
Was there anything else about this one you wanted to talk about?
No, I think we got it. This is... Okay. Yeah, I think we got it.
All right. In other Star Trek news, I saw a tweet that Prodigy was canceled.
Yeah.
And removed from Paramount Plus.
Yeah, yeah.
What the heck, man?
It's... Yeah, I don't know. I was shocked and surprised because it was renewed for a second season and it did pretty well, but again, this is, I think, you know, the thing about, I hope it ends up somewhere else. I hope it ends up, like, on another platform, you know, more geared towards kids. Is there a Nickelodeon?
I don't know, man.
One? Is there a Nickelodeon?
Star Trek?
Streaming service?
Oh, there has to be. I mean, there's...
Right?
Everything has a streaming service, so...
Yeah. Hopefully it comes back. But again, like I was going to say, I think that Paramount Plus... Although, did I just also read that they are now Paramount Plus plus...
Showtime.
Discovery? Showtime. Thank you.
Which means, you know, I can watch Your Honor with Bryan Cranston.
Oh, okay.
Season 2, okay. Which I never saw. Oh. I saw season 1, but I was like,
okay.
When I got COVID, I subscribed to Showtime.
Do we have to upgrade to that? Or is it now part of the bundle?
I think what I saw is we are involuntarily upgrading. So it goes up to, like, I think it's $11.99 a month, but it includes Showtime.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, that's not bad. So I think it's the smallest one, right? Would you say it's like the smallest streaming platform compared to like Netflix and Max and Disney Plus and...
That seems fair, yeah.
Okay, so it seems like it's one of the smaller ones. And it also seems like it's had issues at the top, like at the decision-making.
Sure.
Where they've made decisions where they've lost money instead of, you know, obviously made. And unfortunately, it might also be tied with the writer's strike, although I completely support the writers.
Mm-hmm.
That may have had part to do with it. But, you know, that's the world that we live in these days. Sometimes, you know, they're going to have to make tough decisions and... Unfortunately, Prodigy was cut. Sad, but hopefully it comes back.
Yeah. Tragic that they removed it from the service.
Yeah.
To, like, free up server space, you know?
Yeah.
But...
Yeah.
You know, to me...
Because as much as it was for kids, it was still really entertaining. I loved it.
I never saw it. But, I mean, in theory, we're supposed to cover it when we get to that point, so...
Yeah.
Now we're gonna have to figure out how to watch it.
We'd have a long way to go.
Okay.
Because that fits like after Voyager, but before Picard. So we'd have a long way to go.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
And hopefully it doesn't mean, and hopefully for Star Trek fans, hopefully that doesn't mean that they're cutting back on Trek. Because I know after Picard season 3, I think there was a renewed sense of like, okay, we want more.
Right. For our sake, I agree.
But again, at the same time, I also recognize Star Trek has been a very niche thing, even though it seems huge. I think it's a very niche, and I don't mean this to like bash the fan base or anything, because I think it's the best and I'm part of it and we're part of it, but it's not, it doesn't have the X-Men or the Marvel or the even Star Wars reach.
Sure.
This is just kind of the story of for Star Trek fans for a lot of its history. You know, it only went for three... The original series only went for 3 seasons, and then, you know... And then it went away for a little while, and then there were movies and all that kind of stuff. So hopefully, it doesn't mean... Hopefully, it doesn't mean cutting back.
Yeah, I would love to know the reasoning behind that. Because it seemed like they were full steam ahead with... How many active shows are there? Like 4 or 5 that are like currently putting out
episodes? Let me see. So Prodigy was one. Discovery was coming to an end. Strange New Worlds.
Picard.
Picard ended after season 3, but that was a Patrick Stewart. I think that was a Patrick Stewart decision that he was only going to do 3 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lower Decks.
Okay, I think I said...
And then I think...
Prodigy?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's the one that they canceled. That they just canceled, right?
Wow. So,
and then I think there's another one
in my head, Prodigy, Lower Decks... Because isn't Strange New Worlds animated as well?
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In my head, yeah. Lower Decks and Prodigy were the same thing. But
No. Different animation, different... Yeah, different kind of storytelling. Yeah.
Got it. Now I remember seeing the promo for Prodigy. It was almost like Star Wars looking aliens.
Yeah, okay. It's okay. Very Star Wars looking.
So yeah. I now I'm thinking, okay, now that I think about it like that, it's probably crazy expensive compared to like Lower Decks.
Probably.
To animate that.
Probably.
It's like coming out with a Pixar movie every week or whatever.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay.
Probably.
Okay. That makes more sense. And probably no kids were watching it because, like, who's going to be like, Mommy, Daddy, turn on Paramount Plus?
Yeah. And it's interesting. I'm like, what age group are they targeting with this one? Because as much as there were, like, you know, kind of like blobby kind of aliens, I'm like, this has got to be 10, 12, 11.
Okay.
13, 14 year olds. I'm like, this is very. I don't want to underestimate the intelligence of a child or anything like that, but I'm like, even for me, I'm like, oh, this is, you know, incredibly thought provoking, you know, and a lot of stuff. Very Star Trek in that way, for a kid show.
Well, so Star Wars on Disney Plus has the Young Jedi Adventures, which my daughter has watched. There's like one season, so she watched it all the way through like 5 times. And while it feels sort of Star Wars, it's finally childish enough to to lose my interest. Like, I didn't think that was possible. You know, I thought that my devotion to the franchise, you know, ran so deep that they could never water it down to something where I couldn't care less.
Yeah.
Could not care less about anything that is happening in that show. Oh,
okay. See, that's the way I thought about it with Prodigy. I was like, oh, this isn't gonna hold my attention. But it did.
It did.
And it did. And I'm like, what does that mean? What does that say about me?
It could have been good because there's a lot of shows that she watches that I legitimately enjoy, like Bluey. Bluey's about like this blue healer dog family, or Australian healer family from Australia, obviously.
Yes.
And it's brilliant. It's like the music's amazing. It's funny. It's super like emotionally engaging. So you know, it's not like I'm against all children's stuff, but this Star Wars one is so. It is such a watered down version of Star Wars. It's barely recognizable. Like, until Yoda comes on the screen, you wouldn't even know you're really watching Star Wars.
Gotcha. See, that's totally different from Prodigy. It's like, I'm like, wow, kids these days must be, like, you know, much more advanced than when we were kids. But I'm like, darn, this is actually, I'm not trying to put, like, children's programming down. I enjoy it. This was actually, like, a lot.
Nice.
You know, I'm like, you know, so, yeah.
Okay. I'm down to watch it when we get to that point. Sounds like we have a long time to get there, so.
We do.
We can talk about it with our grandkids.
Yes.
I look forward to it. At this pace.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, my friend?
Anything else?
I don't think so.
Are you going to go see Dial of Destiny?
I mean, I feel obligated to because, like, you know, it's Indiana Jones. But
yeah.
I did not. Like, I didn't dislike that last Indiana Jones
thing. Kingdom of Crystal Skulls or whatever.
Was that the last one?
Yeah.
It was just super forgettable. It was very like generic action adventure. And I wasn't let down because I wasn't expecting that movie. It kind of came out of the blue. I was just like, wow, this is crazy. But so I don't know, man. I feel like had that one not been such a nothing, I would definitely be going to see this one like 100%. But now I'm like, maybe if I have energy, if I'm not tired, if there's nothing else going on, then sure, yeah. But you know, I feel like I'm definitely gonna see Oppenheimer in the theater. And I feel like I'm kind of saving my like theater outing for that.
Okay.
Because that's just in like a couple weeks or whatever. So.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
But you've been to the movies.
I went last week.
Somewhat recently, right?
Yeah, we went to saw an Elemental last week, the new Pixar one, Disney Pixar.
Oh, how was that?
It was good. It's very good.
Okay.
Very, very good. They did a
really love Pixar movies.
They really very like multi-dimensional emotionally, which I don't think they've accomplished with some of their recent stuff. They did a great job focusing the struggle on like the love between water and fire, like they're like kind of forbidden love. They're kind of like a Romeo and Juliet
And Juliet.
Yeah. But like by bringing in their struggle and like focusing on that, I just connected with it a lot more.
Okay.
So I definitely would recommend that one. I mean, it wasn't as good as, you know, Toy Story 3 or something.
Okay.
You know, there's been so many great Pixar movies.
Yes.
But,
yes,
you know, like Inside Out is like mind-blowingly good to me. Like, so there's a very high bar
for Inside Out. Is that the emotion one with the girl?
Yeah okay. With Amy Poehler, and Amy Poehler's the lead character. Like they're all like aspects of little girl,
the young girl, right?
Yeah
The emotions, right?
Yeah You've seen that one?
Okay. I love that one.
That one is like so good to me.
It is really good. I mean, Richard Kind.
Yeah. As Bing Bong the elephant.
Yeah, as Bing Bong. Thank you. Yeah, when he sacrifices himself. Yeah, no.
So, definitely not.
I'm terrible. Okay, so I'm just terrible at remembering movie titles a lot of times. Yeah. So that's why I was like, is that the emotional one?
It is. Yeah. Well, that's the best way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just throw, you know, because I'll be in conversation, you know, with people. It's Angel mostly. And I'll be like, oh, you know, that reminds me of that. And I'll just throw, like, you know, whatever it is. I'm like, you know, the emotions. Pixar movie, and she's like, Inside Out. I'm like, yeah, that's the one.
I knew exactly what you meant. But I mean, like think about how good like Finding Nemo is. I mean, that movie's like perfect, right? Like the bar is so high.
Yeah.
So, but I would say it's better than some of the more recent stuff. The like Onward. Did you see that one? Onward?
Is that the one with the dinosaurs?
No, that was the one with like the wizards. They were like, their like dad was like a pair of legs and they were like wizards.
Oh, yeah. With Chris Pratt.
Is that
Magic World?
Is that who that was?
Isn't it?
I don't know.
Isn't it? I thought so.
I thought so. Yeah, it's now. I mean, now that I think about it, that makes sense.
I think Chris Pratt was the older brother.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was good. It wasn't great. I didn't think it was one of their best, but I thought it was still pretty good.
So, It's better than that. Way better than that.
Okay. So. Okay. Anything on the Star Wars front?
Not that I know of. Not that I can think of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Ahsoka, a couple months out, right?
August, I think, right?
Yeah. But that's pretty much it, I think. So.
And then I think, I don't think we've talked about this. No season two for Kenobi. Is that what we've been told?
I think the thing is that there's no plans for it.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think it's like a hard no, like.
Gotcha.
I do recall that Ewan McGregor said, yeah, if they're down, I'm down. And like,
yeah,
in my head, like, I don't understand why that's not enough for everyone. Like, if Ewan McGregor says, let's do it, like, why doesn't everyone just, like, you know,
jump up
and say, come on, let's go.
I agree with you on that one. I'm like, isn't that enough?
Yeah.
When you hear Obi-Wan himself say, come on, guys, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Let's just do in this. My head, he's ironclad. I mean, he doesn't get any better than that. So,
yeah,
this shows how much I know.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I'm like, that should be enough.
Yeah. Well, thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Always a good time. And everybody, thanks for listening, and we appreciate it. Follow us on all the stuff. Follow us on Twitter, TikTok, Spotify. We appreciate it. And until next time, live long and prosper.
And may the force be with you.
See ya.